Newsman, back on board. Good to see you.
Yes, thanks, Web Guy. A couple of weeks holiday. I miss doing the podcast, I must admit. It's a good sort of opportunity to, I guess, express your frustrations and talk about things you don't normally get to in the everyday news cycle.
Vent, basically. And you've picked a great week to be back on board. Feels like a long time ago now, but the Super Bowl was played this week.
Yes, it's a massive hype surrounding this. I've never really got into the sport, to be honest. I watch it with curiosity and I enjoy the halftime spectacular, but yeah, it's good to see something that captures the world attention that isn't negative, just a bit of fun.
Man, that is just so much just fluff. The bottom line, halftime show, yay or nay?
I didn't mind it, but we've had a bit of a chat previously with other people around the newsroom. Not overly spectacular.
Nah.
No surprise wardrobe malfunction, is always my favourite.
Yeah, we always wait for the wardrobe malfunction, which was invented by Justin Timberlake.
That's right. That's
back
right.
Again this year, and yeah, no malfunctions. So yeah, thumbs down from me. Tangent, Meatloaf, famous for his AFL halftime performance. News story I see this week, he's actually lost the ability to sing. I know it's a curveball. I've just thrown this one at you, but I didn't look into it deeply, but that's the headline I saw. Can sing no more.
Shouldn't laugh, because what? Is it an actual serious story that he's got nodes or anything in his throat, or just...
Who knows? I don't know, but I mean, based on the grand final performance, it did seem like maybe... And that was years ago now, but it did seem like maybe the voice was on the way out. But
I wonder if it's all about declining hearing and you can't sort of pitch the same way.
No, because Beethoven was deaf.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
But anyway, the Meatloaf was probably
Beethoven.
That
was the flimsiest argument put forward, smashed down by the most... the most important fact in music, you know.
Yeah, we all need to remember. Was it Beethoven?
Yeah.
Was it Mozart? Were they both deaf?
Oh.
Were they both blind? One was blind, one...
Once again, bringing class to this podcast. Hey, and also with Super Bowl, the ads, we make a big deal about it, I guess just out of something different to a different angle to Super Bowl, but do the actual viewers... stay in front of the TV to watch these ads, or are we just making a big deal that basically when there's an ad on Super Bowl, like most of us, they go for a toilet break or go outside and wait till the game restarts?
Did you say take a toilet break outside?
No, take a toilet break, comma, or go outside and just enjoy yourself.
I think the Super Bowl ads are devouring themselves now. There was a point where the Super Bowl ad slot costs so much, you make it a really great ad, which they were, and people appreciated that. Yeah, you would miss a toilet break to catch the ads, but now they've become like too big a deal, and they produce ads now that are very self-consciously big ads.
Yes.
And so I think a bit of backlash this year about these ads are just about being, you know, ads. Like the Tourism Australia one was an ad pretending to be a movie trailer. Sure, heaps of people saw it, but bit of a, oh geez, like it's disappeared up its own ass now.
Is it a tired brand by Australia to keep flogging a Crocodile Dundee style image of ourselves and rugged and humorous? I don't know.
It was only the 80s, so it's only, 30 years ago? It's only 30 years old. I mean...
Surely Americans, even being Americans, are perceptive enough to just go, okay, guys, we get it.
Oh,
you've got wildlife.
That's a good point. They must be... I mean, everyone must be so sick of it now.
Still not that naive that that's all that Australia's about, but...
No, we're also about Hugh Jackman, which is almost like a modern-day Crocodile. If Crocodile Dundee was actually real in 2018, he probably would be Hugh Jackman.
He would be. He would be.
Another interesting thing, getting off sports, astounding news this week that eating McDonald's fries can help cure baldness.
Web Guy, I reckon you're a more self-assured individual, but I look into the mirror most days and see the follicle tide receding and not necessarily returning. So I'm interested in this story. Very interested.
Oh, I think we are maybe both through the danger zone. Do you know, I made a pact with God that he should let me keep my hair until I was 30. And then after 30,
You said,
it's yours. You know, if you got to take it, God, take it after 30. And I'm into my 30s now, and I think my hair's pretty much still the same as it was ages ago.
No, that's good. And you've got a beautiful wife, and she loves you for who you are, so.
You don't want to be, it's tough in your 20s though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So if you are, well, the Macca's fries apparently contain something that produce hair follicle germs, which it sounds bad, but apparently it's good, fuels hair development.
So do you rub the chips into your hair, or you just have to eat them?
I'll be honest, I haven't dug deep into the science of this. You would think maybe rubbing them directly onto the affected area could be the more efficient way to consume this. The secret ingredient is dimethylsiloxane, which is definitely how it's pronounced. The Japanese professor who did this study said the simple method is very robust and promising. We hope this technique will improve human hair regenerative therapy to treat hair loss, blah, blah, blah. But so it goes on. I mean, it's what's in the Macca's fries, but they're trying to work out how to extract it and then turn it into a, you know, effective medicine, because probably eating the fries is not good advice, because what else are you getting along with the hair regeneration?
Yeah. So you've got a beautiful, you know, coif of hair like Elvis, but you're fat like Elvis because you're just eating chips nonstop.
Yeah, and your heart stops and working. And
oh, yeah, that. I'm all about superficial. Forgot about the heart.
Your arteries are blocked up like peak hour in New York City.
Yep.
So I don't know, but you know, promising signs here. It comes on the heels of another bizarre news story, wacky news story last week that I don't know if you saw this while you're on holidays, and I didn't, at the time I wasn't sure whether to click on it or not, but I couldn't resist in the end, that smelling your partner's farts could help save your life.
I saw the headline and did not go there, but please go on. Please go on.
Yeah, apparently there's something in there that, and they were saying, you know, it can work in the fight against cancer, strokes, dementia, like all the big stuff.
So what, is there a active chemical in
apparently
what's coming
is.
Out?
Yeah, and I don't have the data to hand, but something in there is good for regenerating cells or something. And again, they're trying to extract it out so you don't have to go around whiffing the methane.
Dogs have been onto a good thing. They just nuzzle up and...
Yeah, they knew what they were doing all along. But yeah, so a lot of wacky science news coming out at the moment. Hopefully some of that's helpful.
Who brings it out? Who's doing this? Is it... It's preying on people's insecurities and people's want to live as long as possible, really, isn't it? Well, the chips, obviously, a different thing. Fries, different, but, you know.
Well, that is true. I mean, that is an internal human impulse to want to try and live forever. But the way these studies are reported now, it's like the scientists are thinking up the most wacky angle they can so they can get some publicity for the thing. Maybe they're reverse engineering all these wacky theories.
Yeah. Do you think scientists are more media savvy these days, or have to be? Because we're not really a patient society anymore, that we're going to plow through a science journal article and find out what we need to know. We want a punchy sort of, hey, that's...
Yeah, you need to be able to fit your report into a tweet. I mean, yeah, media savvy, of course, absolutely. Like, we got 3-year-old YouTube stars. Like, media savvy is almost redundant now. It's like, actually, that's just the world.
It's a challenge for science and scientists to do that, though. I've spoken to many scientists from local universities in what seems to be a fairly important and interesting study, but they really, it's a challenge to make it an everyday issue, if that makes sense. They talk about proteins. They talk about the chemical bonding of something to trigger something else.
Yeah.
And they can never give you a date when things might progress. And that's fair enough. I guess they've got to... it's one of those, how long's a piece of string if you're trying to break through with something new. But yeah, it's a challenge to make science interesting, but fries... for baldness and farts for good health is one way to do it.
Rub the fries on your head. Great story this week, newsman, that everybody can find a reason to be offended about. I'm personally offended as a male human. There'll be females out there personally offended by this story. There'll be people as yet unoffended who become offended after we discuss it.
Web guy, this sounds really important. Is it something about a character assassination or something about women's rights? It sounds pretty bloody serious. I want to know.
It's about snacks.
Snacks. Snacks.
I had this idea to rebrand vending machines as snack robots.
Snack robots. How would that work?
Well, that's just what they're called.
Instead of
a vending machine, I'm just going to go to the snack robot.
Oh, okay. I was imagining arms sort of flailing and
That could be added.
Are you sure you want this chocolate bar?
Anyway, that's a tangent. what is in the news this week is Doritos, makers of some of the finest chips that human civilization has produced so far.
Pretty much a staple at every party is a bowl of corn chips. So
yeah,
everyone will have an opinion on this, I think.
Yeah. Apparently, they are made with a bias for men. They're a bit like sexist almost in a way.
Sexist chips.
Yeah. All this time they've been really sexist. And the Doritos bosses just realized that. And so now, this week, they announced they're going to make a quote-unquote lady-friendly version of Doritos.
See, I'm totally lost here. How can a food item be sexist? It doesn't make sense.
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked. Here is what Global Chief Executive from Doritos said. This is her quote, and it's hilarious. And this is what I get offended about. She's presuming to know how I, a man, like to eat my Doritos. This is what she says. You watch a lot of the young guys eat the chips. It's funny already. They love their Doritos, and they lick their fingers with great glee.
Yeah.
I'm reading this word for word. And when they reach the bottom of the bag, they pour the little broken pieces into their mouth because they don't want to lose that taste of the flavor and the broken chips in the bottom. All right. That bit, I'll admit to trying to get every last scrap out of the bottom of the bag.
Yeah.
But licking fingers with glee?
Yeah, I've seen people do that and it's not great. This person has really looked into it. She hosted a party with a double-sided mirror.
Yeah.
And just watched with horror as teenage boys just devoured their product in a manly, male kind of way.
With much glee.
With much glee.
And then she goes on, women would love to do the same, but they don't. They don't like to crunch too loudly in public, and they don't lick their fingers.
Right.
So, well, maybe that's all true. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe there's some big assumptions there. Anyway, they're going to make this version, lady-friendly version, which are low-crunch, triangular snacks. Even come in a smaller pack to fit in a woman's handbag.
Well, what's your thought on the old corn chip? I think the crunch is what makes any chip. You need to have that sound, otherwise, and the texture that goes with crunchiness. Otherwise, it'll be just like soggy, like someone's tipped water on it.
They're not saying no crunch. They're saying less crunch. So just the volume's dialed down magically somehow.
Right.
But God, I mean,
a smaller size would probably be better because then you can crunch within the mouth cavity.
I've never heard eating chips described in such a less appealing way.
The mouth is a cavity. You don't.
Since you've come back from holidays, have you suddenly become like an amateur scientist, or you're talking like a PhD thesis? I don't know what's going on.
Well, I do think a smaller one would be better because you can crunch away and not to have the larger chips going everywhere.
Are men going to get weird looks? Like if a man buys the lady-friendly version, are you going to get a weird look? Or?
Well, I've been quiet on this for long enough, but someone close to me, and I'm appreciative of them telling me that I eat chips far too loudly, especially in a public situation. And I appreciated it because I was unaware that I was enjoying my chips so much that I was just smashing them with my mouth open. Noise. Yeah.
Hang on.
I'm embarrassed. Like, I enjoy it, but now I'm aware that I'm very aware I don't want to be a social hindrance, a social bother.
Did someone do an intervention?
They did. They did.
And they said, look, Marcus, we're your friends, we're your family, we love you, and that's the only reason why we're telling you that. Yep. You eat your chips way too loudly in public.
And I often, in the lunchroom here, web guy, you're the only person that's here for the whole time, and I do eat a lot during the whole thing, and I'm always a bit worried I'm crunching away too loudly for you, because you're in close proximity as well. But anyway, yes, someone has told me, so as zany as this story sounds, perhaps the ladies' Doritos are for me as well.
Well, maybe. But this, I mean, what an amazing world we must live in. If the fact that chips are too crunchy is taking up the time of, you know, some of our best and brightest, they're dedicating themselves to the problem of chips are too crunchy. I mean, we must have a lot of other problems ticked off now that we can finally free up some time to look into this.
Oh, but to be fair, Doritos, that's their thing. And to make money, they're thinking, all right, we've got a share. We break down our chip consumption. Blokes, 80%, women, 20%. If we could raise the women's intake into the cavity, which is the mouth, to like 40% or something, there's millions and millions of dollars.
Yes. I can see why they would want to do that. I must confess, I actually don't even eat Doritos anymore.
Corn chips in general or Doritos?
It's like, I don't know if it's everyone. It feels like a lot of people now, they don't want to eat anything unless it's, you know, like no preservatives, no additives, you know, organic. It's got to be like, Doritos feel like they're old fashioned in how probably unhealthy they are. I don't know. I haven't checked up lately. But
is that why you don't eat them? Health?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But I mean, are people giving their kids Doritos? Like,
yeah, they're. And if you look at the pack, are you much of a one to examine the breakdown on packs?
I'll just look for. I want to see that there's like no preservatives.
Okay, but you don't look at like fat. Grams per...
No, I don't look at that.
Yeah, right. They're pretty high, and it's because of that cheese dusting they put on it. But, it is one of those good old traditional comfort foods.
Cheese dusting? Is it even actually cheese in any way, shape, or form?
I don't think so. I actually quite like the El Natural corn chip.
Is that a brand name? Or?
No. Just ones that are just corn chip. Yeah, you can really taste the corniness rather than the cheesiness.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that.
Yep.
We scour the news to find stories to dissect on One Newsman and Web Guy podcast. Sometimes I might find a story. I'll print off a couple of notes to bring in Marcus and chat over with you, get your take on what's going on.
Well, I'm looking now. It looks like you've got a fairly blank page ahead of you.
I've got a page here with... no notes, no dot points, just a headline of this story, because it's all contained in the headline, really. There's nothing more to say than the headline.
That's a good headline, not misleading, just straight at it.
Well, let's see where this goes. I'll just leave you with this. Actual headline floating around online this week. Dangerous new hot coil challenge is scarring people for life.
So hot coil, I guess would that be... like a hot plate in your kitchen?
It would be.
Yeah, that sounds painful. And it's taking off, apparently.
Yeah, so fire up the stovetop, get it so it's absolutely, you know, when the ring is glowing red, put your a part of your body, the video, the most prominent one going around at this stage, a guy puts his sort of naked forearm onto the stovetop. Burns his own flesh, and then you see the photo afterwards of the scar. It's left from basically from his wrist to his elbow, with a bit of smoke like wafting off. He's cooked his arm.
Yeah.
The point is to have, you know, some footage to then upload to the internet. I just pronounced that weird. Like, it was the first time I ever tried to say in internet.
Just that thing your career is kind of based around at the moment.
Upload it and then, I don't know, let the fame roll in after that, I guess, is why people are doing it.
Yeah, it's bit lame, isn't it? Really, probably makes for some interesting viewing for about 5 minutes and for a couple of days before everyone moves on. So probably pretty silly. So what was the article saying? That basically some of this scarring, yeah, will stick around pretty much for life and yeah, not superficial burning.
You see that scar and that's for life. That's life for that one. And it comes on, there's a bit of a wave of potentially fatal online challenges. We've moved on past the ice bucket, blah, blah. While you were away, we were swamped by the Tide Pod Challenge.
Wow, tell me about that one.
Where teens, usually teens, not necessarily teens, let's just call them idiots, in the US would put a Tide Pod, which is a detergent packet to go in a, that you would normally put in a washing machine. Pop that in your mouth, bite down on that, film yourself biting down on that, which, by the way, is just literally a packet of poison.
Acid, poison.
Yeah, film yourself doing that, and I can't remember the
numbers. And what was the point of that? Like, you obviously don't swallow it, you just spit it out quickly and...
Try to do it without dying is the point. the clips I've seen, you bite down on it, this weird juicy poison comes exploding out of the packet. And then you quickly try and get it out of your mouth before you cark it.
So you've probably covered it in previous podcasts when I was away. So ice bucket, we had planking. We've had there's the cinnamon. Was there a snort some cinnamon or?
There was a cinnamon
Or no,
phase.
Take a spoonful of cinnamon or something.
I just remember it involved cinnamon.
Yes, and everyone just spluttering up. Spices,
but now you've got to keep pushing that envelope, don't you? And so people are now at the point where they're almost risking death. And one guy who ate 3 Tide Pods and did horrendous damage to himself, said that he was basically doing it, because he wanted quote unquote internet fame.
Yeah,
that's why everyone's doing it.
But you got to be the first, because once you've seen a handful of it, everyone else just looks a bit try hard, really.
But that's why everyone keeps upping their game. It's like, oh, okay, you film yourself eating a Tide Pod, I'm going to eat 3. Okay, you film yourself eating 3 Tide Pods, I'm going to sear my own flesh on the top of a stove. What next?
What is the mentality? Everyone just wants fame easily, I guess. If you don't... In the past, you had to have a musical talent. If you had a beautiful voice or you could... Yeah, it was conventional things that got you attention. Beautiful voice, playing sport well. But now people with no apparent talent are looking for a quick fix of celebrity status.
Maybe people have always been doing this completely dumb stuff.
Yeah,
but we're only just seeing it now. Not everyone has had a platform before.
So in the past it might have been dudes lighting farts or something like that. And it's just for friends' enjoyment and horrifying them. But
you seem to know a lot about that.
No. Did you take part in any challenges over the years?
Nothing.
I don't think I ever did the ice bucket. No, I didn't do the ice bucket.
You'd probably remember. You'd probably remember if you had filmed yourself having a bucket of ice cold water tipped
over. I sheepishly admit someone, I think, invited me to. You know how you were supposed to... Someone did it and then 3 other people...
Yeah, because it was to raise money. For charity.
That's why I was sheepish about it.
So you were invited to do it, and what, you just pretend you never saw it?
Does that make me a bad person?
Oh, no, not at all. It makes you a terrible person.
I felt like it was a challenge for famous people to raise money, and I just didn't want ice on my face. So what do we take from all this? The hot coil challenge, very dangerous. Where will it stop? Will it just won't? Just different risky things.
Oh, probably putting your face down on the stovetop. Hard to see how you'd take it further than that.
Well, when you mentioned the most famous one, I immediately thought you were going to say someone placed their butt on the hot plate, because there's the canvas if you want to get the big circular coil.
And if it is a permanent scar, well, that's probably not as bad as having it over your forearm or somewhere that is fairly regularly exposed.
What are some of the other crazes that could take on, do you think? Surely there are some more positive ones that...
I think probably putting a firecracker in your butt.
I said positive, but I guess that's explosive.
Maybe Jackass did that.
Yeah.
Positive.
So no, there's no you're, like...
You're overestimating the human...
So there's no... This is a really poor example, but, you know, like if someone did, oh, this is the longest... Sort of, I'm thinking more like Guinness Book of Records, like this is the longest domino trail or most high profile, like get one that goes right through Rundle Mall or...
Yeah.
I don't know, just something that's a little
bit
more creative.
Did you say domino?
Domino, like lining up dominoes.
That would be an awesome one. Imagine if you could film like with a satellite, a domino chain going across like the width of... Even like the state.
Mm.
Yep. Be impossible to do, wouldn't it?
Or like around Adelaide Oval. Just people going and doing some amazing feats that took a bit of effort rather than just blatant stunts.
I can't wait for you to do that domino. I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Have you seen how steady my hands are? I get about 5 dominoes in. It's over. Did you ever have a domino kit for that purpose?
I remember having dominoes.
Mm.
Never made a viral video with them, though.
No, no. It's a shame that wasn't around for our childhood. I would have been a mad YouTuber.
You would have been. Interesting you say that purpose, because to me, the only purpose is to knock them over. But you're right. Like, there is some obscure game or something.
That's where it started, yeah.
Nah, they're just for knocking over. The way the media works a lot of times, newsman, is someone will do an interview with someone else, and then there might be a bombshell in that interview, and then all these other media outlets pounce on the quotes from this original interview, and they'll, you know, credit whoever did the interview, you know, so-and-so spoke to such and such, and they said, bam, this amazing bombshell, and then everyone's reporting the same news thing that's happened.
Sounds like stuff we do.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. So this will happen fairly regularly. Usually from like an explosive interview, you'll get one just jaw-dropping piece of info. An interview has been done this week that has included about 12 just absolute knock-your-block-off revelations.
Mm.
It's been labelled the juiciest interview of all time.
Ooh. Must have a lot of scandal.
So there is literally...
Sex, drugs and rock and roll.
All of that.
Yes.
So much of all of that. And so everyone has pounced on this interview. Everyone is running stories about it. But instead of just pulling out the one, you know, hidden gem, it's like 5, 6, 7 just blockbuster.
You are right, because normally you'll watch an in-depth story. It might go for an interview. It might go for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And generally there's... 2 or 3 comments that you go, wow, the rest is probably known or expected, but this sounds like a ball burster.
That is a good phrase to describe it. So get ready for your balls to burst. This interview was with Quincy Jones.
Yes.
You familiar with Quincy?
Explain.
American music legend.
Oh, yeah,
sort of like a jazz legend in his own right. Yeah. But then his fame went, supersonic. That's the wrong word to use. But anyway, went to the next level when he started producing all of Michael Jackson's records. So he became like, he is the music man, basically.
Right.
Like probably no one has more, certainly, you know, producing credibility than
interviewed.
Him. He's sat down for an interview. It's sort of like a face-to-face thing, and this outlet published a transcript of the interview.
Mm.
And it turns out Quincy is... loose lips sink ships. He is like, the whole like flotilla has gone down.
So do we know who did this interview?
Yeah, I forget. I don't know.
Okay. So it's not like it's a renowned, hard-hitting person that really delves and gets the big story.
Some online source. I can't remember. They're pretty well known. I can't. Their name just escapes me.
It does matter.
Everyone
does matter.
Has jumped on it though. He is, just to give you the quick heads up, he's laid into the Beatles. He's laid into Donald Trump. He's exposed probably... deep, dark secrets about Marlon Brando. He reckons he knows who killed JFK. But his first comments were to do with Michael Jackson. And he basically accused Michael Jackson of just stealing songs.
Ooh.
He says, and he said, this is how he starts the interview. I hate to get into this publicly. Most people would at that point have second thoughts and probably not say what he's about to. But Michael stole a lot of stuff. He stole a lot of songs. He names a couple, State of Independence and Billie Jean. Oh, maybe he means Billie Jean is a ripoff of State of Independence.
Okay.
By Donna Summer. The Notes Don't Lie, Man. He was Machiavellian as they come.
So, yeah.
For an artist, that's like probably the most, that's the biggest accusation you could make against an artist, stealing songs. He's done it. MJ can't defend himself.
No.
He also laid in about the plastic surgery. You know, a touchy subject for Michael Jackson.
Here we go.
He says he'd always justify it and say it was because of some disease he had. Bullshit. That's what he said.
Right. No beeping.
Just called him out.
Yep.
At this point, the interviewer starts to say, whoa, like, man, you're really dishing the dirt here. And so he starts to pry a little deeper. He knows that Quincy's friends with the Clintons. So he says, the Clintons are friends of yours. And then he says, why does everyone, because in the US, Hillary's a bit, you know, divisive.
Yeah.
Why is there this dislike of the Clintons? You know, what are people not seeing in Hillary, for example, that you see? He puts that to Quincy, and Quincy says, it's because there's a side of her, when you keep secrets, they backfire. Interviewer says, like, what secrets? He says, this is something I shouldn't be talking about. I know too much. So he did kind of stop himself there. But, I mean, the cat is half out of the bag.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
We're all thinking Hillary has this, you know, monstrous secret.
Yes.
Your imagination runs away with you. He then says, so, oh, I know too much, man. And the interviewer's like, okay, well, tell me more. He goes, I know who killed JFK. It was, I guess we can say it. I think it's a popular conspiracy theory, but he said this Chicago mobster, Sam Giancana.
All right. Well, why does he know?
Because, like, he was from this era. Like, in that era, in that time, 60s, like, Quincy was, you know, he was mixing with, you know.
Right, so
he was at the center of the action. He says there was a connection between Sinatra and the Mafia and Kennedy. Joe Kennedy was a bad man, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, he's friends with Sinatra.
Yeah.
So, basically, total mob conspiracy,
yeah.
Which is already out there, but he's saying, yeah, well, that's the real one. And then he says we shouldn't talk about this publicly after all of it.
So, was it a TV? No, it was an online.
Yeah. Yep.
Done online, right. Yep. So, his guard's down, probably. Because if you're on TV cameras stuck in your face, perhaps you're a little bit more cautious.
You're probably right. His guard wasn't down. He just didn't even bring a guard to the thing. you're right. And he seemed to have a rapport with this interviewer. They were talking a lot about music. The interviewer knew it was very informed about music, so they would talk a lot. And then he was already in talk mode, and this stuff was flowing out. He talks about Trump. I used to hang out with him. He's a crazy mother effer. Limited mentally, a megalomaniac, narcissistic. I can't stand him. Okay, that's quite newsworthy. And then this, I used to date Ivanka, which is Trump's daughter.
Mm.
I did a quick crunching of the numbers. Ivanka is 36, I think.
Okay.
Quincy said this was about 12 years ago.
24.
Is that right? Something like that.
And how old's?
And Quincy is now 85, so he was still
In his 70s, 20s, I like it.
I think by date he meant, like, they might have had dinner maybe.
Right.
It was probably. I'm sure Ivanka wouldn't have thought it was a date.
Well, from this interview, he's just saying anything, so who knows?
He said some shocking things about Marlon Brando. I don't even know if I should say it.
It's out there.
It's not shocking. It's not shocking.
Okay. But
what is shocking about it is that he would say this about someone. You know, if Brando wants to reveal these things about himself, well, he could have. Maybe he did. I don't know. But he's dead now. He's not saying it. Is it up to anyone else to dish the dirt now?
Mm.
I don't know. Quincy took it upon himself to say, Brando, I'm going to really paraphrase this because Quincy's language is straight up just gutter talk. He said he would, how do I put it? He was a giant ladies' man, but also a man's man.
Oh,
And then he names a heap of famous male men, male movie stars, or male stars. links them with Brando in a romantic way, including Richard Pryor.
Right.
A family has confirmed that that's true. Marvin Gaye, James Baldwin, don't know who he is. The Brando family, hope you didn't mind that coming out.
Yeah.
He ripped into the Beatles, worst musicians in the world, he said.
Okay.
There were no playing mother effers. Paul was the worst bass player I ever heard. And Ringo, don't even talk about it. He goes into this long story about how bad Ringo is at the drums. So this is the exact opposite of how most interviews are done these days, where you try to just give a politically correct, inoffensive answer that's just going to pass through unnoticed.
He's targeted a lot of dead people there. That's the main theme I'm getting. He's waited till they're dropped off the perch to lay in the boot.
Mm.
What would be his motivation behind that?
Do you think
he's had a few drinks beforehand, or what's going on?
Maybe. He's a real jazz master, so maybe he was smoking some of the some jazz cigarettes.
Right.
You might call them, I don't know. But he seems...
See, why are you holding back with the name of it when you just basically put us in legal danger? No.
I think he's just one of these guys. He's 85.
Yep.
He's got nothing to prove. He's got nothing,
no one's
left to really probably achieve. He's set, he's living a comfortable life. He just doesn't care. It was the impression I got.
So beware of the elderly. They'll tell you how it is and reveal your deepest, darkest secrets.
It gives me an idea. Who's like the Australian equivalent who you should be hit? Every reporter should just be hitting up because they're going to just get expose galore.
Well, I guess Molly Meldrum would have a lot of stories, but sadly he probably isn't the best communicator anymore. So.
No. And you don't want to be seen to be taking advantage of
someone. So he would have a vault of many, many secrets.
He would have a vault. But they're all his own secrets, probably.
Yeah, that's true. He was probably involved in most of them. That's right. Yeah. Who else would have a lot of dirt on people?
Bert Newton would have stories to tell.
Yeah, Bert.
Of, Australia's golden TV era.
Mm.
Maybe he's dished a lot of it already, I don't know. But he seems to be the sort that at some point he's probably just going to say, you know what, I know all this stuff, now's the time. Here we go, let's do it. He's just going to sit down with someone and just hand them a bag of headlines.